Please do take a seat, and you may like to turn to our gospel passage, which is Mark chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 53. You'll find it on page 1009. So we're journeying through Mark's gospel. John Mark, this young man who, through the eyewitness accounts that he pieced together, gives us an intimate and a profoundly challenging portrait of the life of Jesus. And of course, being a gospel, it is good news. This news about Jesus. And I hope that tonight there will be something of good news for each of us here. Let's expect that. So we've got to chapter 6. And we've seen in many different places so far that there are essentially two different kinds of people that Jesus encounters. One group are those who are drawn to him by what he can do for them. And we hear about them again at the beginning of our reading tonight. They literally, we are told, ran throughout the whole region and brought those who were sick to have them healed. Jesus is almost inundated by these people. Imagine the scene in every place that he went to. Crowds gathering around him, pressing in. Now these people who needed help were those largely who lived on the margins of society, the outcasts and the poor, those who were shunned by everybody else. And in Jesus they met someone who welcomed them and made a difference in their life. Now, we don't know that they necessarily became long-term followers of Jesus. And I'm sure many of them were just there as bystanders, watching what was going on. But many certainly came with open hands, needing help. The other group that we encounter often and encounter again in Mark's gospel are those who didn't receive Jesus with open arms. Their arms were closed, and inside probably their hearts were closed to Jesus as well. And they stood around him, wandering around, watching, questioning, wondering, critical, not sure what to make of him. These were the upstanding members of the community. Far from the outcasts, they were the in-group. They were the religious types, the Orthodox Jews of their day. For them, rituals and rites of passage were very, very important. Now, their Jewish faith had started very simply. Go back to the Ten Commandments. And yes, there were only ten. Ten, I think, perhaps God in his own inimitable way remembered that perhaps we couldn't remember more than 10. So he gave us 10. And I hope most of us could remember those 10 if I asked you to remember them tonight. 10 simple rules to govern our relationship with God and with each other. 10 rules and 5 books. 5 books of the Old Testament, which were the key texts for an Orthodox Jewish person. But then over time, well-meaning individuals within that community had come along and had wanted to define everything. They'd wanted to take those 10 commandments and out of them extrapolate hundreds of little rules. So what does it actually mean? On what occasion should you do this or that or the other? Does it make a difference if it's a Monday or a Friday, the Sabbath or not? Does it make a difference if you're related to this person or not? And so on and so on and so on. And so for the 10 great principles that God gives to govern the relationship that we have with him and with one another, what ends up by the time you get to Jesus' day is that there are literally thousands of little rules. Life becomes more about rules than about principles. So take, for example, the incident that we read about today. The washing of hands. This was nothing to do with hygiene. It was all to do with a ceremonial washing. And so before every meal and between each of the courses in a meal, from water kept in special stone jars in the house, an Orthodox Jewish person would first of all hold their hands upwards, and water would be dripped from fingertip to wrist. They would then wash their hands and clasp them together ritually. But because there was the possibility of that actually contaminating their hands, there would be a second stage to the hand washing, where their fingers were pointed downwards and water would be poured from their wrist to their fingertips to ensure that their hands were perfectly clean before the meal and between every course in the meal. If you didn't do this, it was more than just bad manners. It was that you were seen to be unclean in the sight of God. And there were similarly complex rules for the washing of cooking utensils. Not very good to be on washing up duty on this occasion. So when they observe Jesus and his followers not observing these rules, they demand, why? Why? And Jesus' words to them are by no means an explanation. They are a challenge. They are quite stern words to them. He says to them, you are hypocrites. Your whole life is an act. You're more interested in going through the motions than in listening to God. And he quotes a passage from Isaiah to them. He says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. The Message translation of the Bible, and a contemporary version, says this. Isaiah says, these people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it, because they act like they're worshipping me, but they don't mean it. I'm going to step in and shock them awake. I'm going to astonish them. I'm going to stand them on their ears. Now, I don't know how or what you make of all this. Honestly, it's a bit strange, isn't it, really? The idea that you'd have to wash your hands in this kind of a way between and before every meal. We may think it's even a bit stupid. But it had become an essential part of the ritual for an Orthodox Jewish person. And Jesus' challenge is to say, you're missing the point. You're losing the wood for the trees. You're getting so stuck in these rules that you've forgotten about the principles. And of course, one of the most important places we're reminded of the principle that it's not an outward thing, but an inward thing that God is interested in, not an outward show, but what's going on in our hearts, is in the choosing of Israel's greatest king, King David. Remember the story? Samuel the prophet comes to King David's, well, he wasn't king then, but comes to David's home. They're farmers. David is not the oldest, but he's the youngest of seven brothers. And each brother in turn is placed in front, paraded in front of Samuel. And Samuel goes through each one of them in turn and chooses David, the youngest, and on the surface, least equipped to become a king. Not least because he was a young boy. But what does Samuel see in David? He sees something about his heart. And later he says, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And so he knew David would be the right person because he knew his heart was in the right place. Well, this weekend in our church, we have been celebrating things that we call sacraments. Holy Communion, baptism at Ardley today. I've been meeting with confirmation candidates. And yesterday we had a wedding. It has been a busy weekend for the sacraments. Traditional things that we do in our church. And a definition of a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward and a spiritual grace, so defined by the theologian Augustine hundreds of years ago. You see, lest we throw ourselves away from what we've heard about this rather odd hand washing and distance ourselves from it, we also need to ask ourselves whether some of our own traditions, the things that we're used to doing in our church worship, that have been handed down to us, as much as the hand washing was handed down to those Jewish people, have we lost sight of the principle in the rules? You see, there are important traditions in the church, things of great celebration and solemnity. Human life depends upon tradition, from your family upbringing to national and international customs. Traditions join people together. They join different periods of history together. They bond us together. They bring coherence, continuity, and clarity. Tradition is all really about doing the same thing. And that is its greatest strength and its greatest danger. The point is not whether we have traditions, just as these Orthodox Jewish people had a tradition of washing hands in a particular way, or whether we have sacraments, we take communion, we baptize people, we marry people. Each of those things in and of itself is good. But the important thing behind them all is what is going on inside. Not the outward appearance, but what's going on inside. Remember, a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward and a spiritual grace. Without that inward work, the outward sign loses its power. So take communion, for example. Should it be bread or a wafer? Wine or grape juice? Taken separately, or as when some people intinct and place the wafer into the wine? Actually, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is what is going on in our hearts when we come up to the rail, what it does inside as we come up with empty hands symbolically. In the Book of Common Prayer communion service, it says this: "Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins." That's an inward thing, isn't it? An inward thing. Now, there are many more things in each church that have become, in all but name, a ritual, a way of doing things. And sometimes these things are more about the outward show than the inward experience of grace. Sometimes the way we do things here, tradition, can become a block to truly hearing God, because these traditions are both a great celebration, but as I hope you're beginning to see, a great danger. Take baptism. Baptized a little boy called Jonathan today at Ardley. It's an amazing service of welcome into the church. Today it was a sprinkling. A couple of years ago we were down at the riverside and we baptized two adults, Lisa and Denny, with more than a sprinkling. Does it matter how much water you use? No, not one iota. Yesterday there was a royal baptism, wasn't there? I think, I'm pretty sure, that that royal baptism will have used water from the River Jordan. Now, sadly, I did not have any water from the River Jordan today for Jonathan. Did it matter? No. Because what was going on in Jonathan's godparents' hearts and his parents' hearts, and I hope too in Jonathan's heart, was the important thing. The important thing is that we're open to God's transforming work in our hearts. And sadly, these Pharisees had got things wrong. It was the outward show that was so important to them. For them, this was what religion was all about. This is how they saw their service to God. It wasn't about doing good, loving your neighbor. It was about doing the right thing and, moreover, being seen to do the right thing. A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward and spiritual grace. I pray that all we do, all the traditions of our church, whether we call them sacraments or not, depending on which church you belong to, whether it's Anglican or Roman Catholic, will depend on how many there are technically defined as sacraments. But I hope that all we do is an outward sign of something that is going on deeply inside us. Because that is the only truly authentic way to live and indeed to please God. Amen.